Hello and welcome to Mount Podmore, the Rapid City Journal's political podcast. I'm your host, Seth Tupper. Our guest for this episode is State Representative Julie Bartling, a Democrat from Gregory and formerly of Burke, who is the inaugural winner of the Rapid City Journal's Craig Teason Award for Civility in Lawmaking. Okay, Representative Bartling, the first question I wanted to ask you was about the award. You've been named the inaugural winner of the Craig Teason Award for Civility in Politics. So what does it mean to you to be chosen for an award with Craig Teason's name on it?
Well, I'm truly honored. I've known Craig since he came into the legislature, beginning actually in 2009. I was serving as a senator at that time, and that is where Craig was elected in his first go-round, was to the Senate. And so we became acquainted with each other. We served on the Corrections Commission together, and I just, you know, had the deepest respect for Craig. He had a way about him that just made you feel so welcome, and he listened and joined in conversations, and I'm just truly honored to be the first winner of an award in his honor. It just means a great deal to me.
So, and besides having his name on the award, it's an award for civility in politics. So that was something that a lot of people have recognized Craig Teason exhibited routinely and often. And I wanted to ask you, why is that important? Why is it important to have a sense of civility in government and politics?
Well, it's very important as public servants. We are, you know, need to be responsible and responsive to the people of the state of South Dakota, the ones whom we serve, and being civil and respectful and cordial, I think, is probably some of the greatest values that a legislator needs to have in response to all that they are charged in doing as they serve out their terms. And I know that is one thing that Craig was very, very well respected for, and he just had that in his demeanor in every turn that he took. And it's you could see that was something that was also very important to him, and I'm sure in his past careers with the Rapid City Police Department and, of course, serving as chief prior to coming into the legislature, I know that protecting the people was important to him, and civility, of course, is clearly important in that line of work as well. So I think it's something that must resonate through our legislative branch, through actually any political branch, public service, etc. It's just so important.
But there are plenty of other, you know, politicians out there who are, you know, screaming and hollering and name calling, and I think they think they're being effective. With that, why not join them? If that's the way a lot of people think the culture is going, why not go that route?
You know, I don't think that accomplishes anything. You know, a lot of people say, well, the squeaky wheel gets greased first, and that might be in some areas. But when it comes to public service, I don't believe the name-calling. I don't believe the antagonistic attitudes and the disrespect that might get thrown around is a way to really accomplish anything. I think it actually maybe sets you out as someone that people will eventually perhaps not look to as one to work for their issues and work on their projects and in the legislative realm, you know, try to pass legislation that's to the benefit of people. You know, I grew up being raised by some really good, strong parents who always taught me respect and taught me that other people's views matter. We may not agree, but we can be respectful in our disagreements. And so I've just always believed that I don't want to step into that realm. I want to work with people, and I want to do the best that I can to see that good legislation is passed, and that whatever legislation is passed is going to work to the benefit of people. So I don't think you'll ever see me step into that realm.
You're serving your 16th year of legislative service, and I wondered during that time, I mean, has civility lagged? Has it been decreasing? Is there any change over that time?
You know, in my 16 years, there's been very few times up here that I've seen a lack of civility or respect. Now, certainly, there's been pieces of legislation that has gone through these bodies that has brought out has brought about very tenuous times, and those are difficult times to be here because you do believe in what you're proposing and what you're voting on, or you may not agree with it. But I think for the most part, I haven't seen a lack of civility in those types of those times. But certainly it's been very tenuous. I think probably when those types have happened, the lack of civility sometimes might come from the constituent who's up here who's trying to push their idea or push against an idea that's been proposed. So there might have been a little bit of lack of civility on a person coming in and testifying or disagreeing. But for the most part, in my 16 years, the legislators that I've worked with have been very cordial, very civil, and we've tried to put those differences aside once that bill or that measure has either died or passed on to the next house or to the governor's office. So I've seen very little, in my opinion, lack of civility up here. I think South Dakota, for the most part, we like to consider ourselves very civil, very cordial.
What about nationally? Do you see us trending toward less civility in politics on a national level?
On the national level, at this point in time, yes, I do see we have some really strong civility issues, and those are trending from the top down, sadly. And I hope that over time that will remedy itself. The good people of the United States, you know, we all want the same thing. We all want good jobs. We all want a good lifestyle for children. We want to take care of those who can't take care of themselves, protect take care of our servicemen and women because they're protecting us around the world. But there just seems to be some very distinct issues out there that are really causing problems, and thus we see protests all across the country in relation to those types of things. And sadly, I hope we can turn that around somehow as well.
So I wanted to read you one of the things somebody who nominated you said about you. They said, quote, "Julie is a special person. She never says an unkind word about anybody or loses her composure in any setting. With you or against you, if you know her, you know a friend." And you mentioned your parents earlier, and I wonder, is that where you get those qualities? Is it something that was trained into you or you developed over time, or how did you get those qualities?
Well, I really do attribute that back to my parents. I'm one of 12 children, come from a very good, strong Catholic family, and we lived on a farm. We all had chores. We all had things that we needed to do, and that is one thing that my mom and dad always said. You work together to get things accomplished. You never shirk on your responsibilities, and you always, as far as brothers and sisters, you take care of each other, and you treat each other good. You watch out for each other. And I think that just instilled in me with my folks. I've tried to pass that on to my kids, and I think it's just a creed that I've always lived by, and I really do attribute that to my upbringing back down in Herrick, South Dakota.
One of the few and the proud from Herrick, huh?
Yes, living on the farm. Yeah, it was, and we just, you know, growing up was just awfully special. And, you know, my brothers and sisters and I still have a really good, strong relationship because of that. You know, you always have some differences, you know, as you grow up and whatnot, but we're each other's best friends, and I do attribute that back to my mom and dad.
You mentioned, you know, sometimes there's some emotional testimony at the Capitol and Pier on legislation. In the 16 years that you've been in the legislature, I think about, you know, bills dealing with abortion, bills dealing with drunken driving or, you know, texting while driving, or bills dealing with, you know, funding for education for our kids. Lots of emotional topics with emotionally charged testimony. So there must have been times where, you know, your sense of civility was tested. I wondered if you could remember any of those times and tell us about it.
Yes, actually, I would say probably the first time I had a test of it was probably in 2005, 2006, in that realm, and it was with one of the abortion bills. And I was a prime sponsor on one of the bills, and that was in the Senate. And of course, the galleries were packed, the halls were packed, and, you know, the bill passed out of the Senate and then on to Governor Rounds's desk, which he then signed. It then brought about what was called referred Law 6. And that was a time when, you know, and I think all legislators probably were tested at that time, whether you were for the measure or against it. But there were times that it, you know, you were attacked personally and professionally. And I can just remember after everyone had cleared the Capitol, after all of that, it was late. I think it was even 9 o'clock at night, and I remember just kind of walking around the Capitol. No one else was here, and I remember being on the fourth floor, and I was just, you know, I just kind of was in a numb state, if I can call it that, because of the name calling and the ugly comments and the remarks that were made after all was said and done on that. And it, you know, I didn't question why I sponsored it. I didn't question my vote on it. But I really, truly questioned and almost, you know, said, why am I here? Why do I need to put myself through this? Why do I need to let people do this to me? And so, it, you know, it took a little bit of time, but I just kind of came back to my roots about, you know, someone didn't agree with me. I have to respect their opinion, and I just truly hope in return that they would respect mine. So it was truly a test. It was a test.
This bill was then, I guess, a partial or near total ban on abortion, correct, that went to an election ultimately and was defeated by voters?
Yes, absolutely. It was the full ban. So it was one that really caused, you know, a lot of dissension among Republicans and Democrats within their own thoughts and minds, not between parties, because that's not, in my opinion, that is not a party issue. Those are personal issues, and so I think that's where it became so difficult, because, you know, you really couldn't band with your party brothers or sisters on that. It was just something within you that you had to consider.
So, what were some examples, if you could give us some that you can repeat, I guess, you know, of some of the things that were said or done? What were some of things that tested your civility at that time?
You know, I guess I received threatening emails, you know, and I don't even know, you know, of course you don't know where these individuals come from. We've received emails from all over the country, but, you know, threatening that if they ever saw me, they would run me over with their truck. You know, if, you know, that... from a service person that said, you know, I've fought for my country, I fight for your rights, and now you're taking away rights, and things of that nature. And it just, you know, those are things that kind of really hit you hard, because, you know, you don't ever want to take anyone's rights away, and I have the greatest and utmost respect for military because of all that they sacrifice for. So it was such that, you know, I really, you know, just kind of had to hold it within and do some deep searching as to where do I go from here.
So how did you do that? I mean, how do you avoid then going into the committee hearing room and shouting people down? And how do you avoid, you know, sending nasty emails back to people? How do you keep your composure in situations like that?
You know, I think it's just growing up. I was one of the oldest growing up, and I was taught patience. With my younger siblings, I was taught, you know, that everyone had a fair shake, everyone had an opportunity, everyone has a chance, and I just resonate back that I don't like confrontations of that type of nature. I think that everyone should have the opportunity to speak their mind. I may not agree, they may not agree with me, but I think everyone, because of the freedoms that we do have, you have the right to speak and the right to express, and no matter what way it might be. I guess I learned not only through growing up, but also being here in the legislature, and I'm very honored in the roles that I have as a legislator. And I just want to maintain composure, because I think in maintaining composure, you can think more sensibly and be very rational in what you do.
In those dark days when you said you were questioning why you were there, during the heated debates and everything over the abortion ban, what was it that made you, decide to come back and continue to serve and run for re-election multiple more times?
Yes. I am not a single issue legislator. I am one that likes to work on issues that have an impact in all areas of the state. And I just thought, I'm not going to let a single issue be something that defines who I am and what I work for and what I want to achieve as a legislator. And so visiting with family, visiting with colleagues, visiting with folks around my district, I said, I'm not ready to give up. I'm not ready to just walk away from it. I'm ready to come back and to work for all of the people of South Dakota, no matter what their issues are, and work for good legislation and just try to improve the lives of South Dakotans.
Wanted to read you another thing. Another person who nominated you wrote about you, and that was, quote, "I don't know of many lawmakers like Craig Teason and Julie Bartling who have been so civil and also so effective." And I think what that nominator was saying was that, some legislators are civil to the point of passivity and ineffectiveness. Mm-hmm. But I look back at last year as an example, and I saw you got 6 bills or resolutions passed as a prime sponsor, a lot of other bills passed as a co-sponsor, all while you're in the extreme minority as a Democrat. So it seems you've been able to be both civil and effective. How do you do that?
Well, I think, learning that as experience as a legislator that's been here, as you say, for almost 16 years, I've learned that you reach across the aisle. You have to work with everyone. You need to be able to sit down with your counterparts, my counterparts in the majority party, talk about the issues and talk about how they affect how the new law, the legislation, may affect South Dakota, and I just think doing that bipartisanship has really resonated and helped me to, number one, select good legislation to sponsor or co-sponsor, and I think that makes a big difference, working across the aisle, and then of course working with the executive branch and all of the departments, because when you bring legislation that might have an impact on the state government itself, you want to be able to work with those departments and work with them and let them know why you're bringing bills that might have either an adverse or a great effect, a good effect for them, but have that open door policy to make good legislation.
So you mentioned earlier that you don't think civility has eroded too much in the South Dakota legislature yet, but perhaps nationally you're seeing that. So what can or should be done to keep that sort of national tide of lesser civility from invading South Dakota, and also how do we turn it back nationally?
Mm-hmm. Well, here in South Dakota as the legislature, we need to self-govern ourselves, and we've actually started that. Yesterday, for example, we had an approximate two-hour session that all legislators, staff, and interns, everyone attended, and it not only addressed the sexual harassment and the harassment in the workplace, but it talked about ethics and civility. And I think that's how we continue to keep a good civil legislative and executive branch here, and judicial branch, of course, in South Dakota, is that we continue to self-monitor and make sure that we are not letting things get out of hand or get away from us, make sure that we lead by example. And so I think that is something that we will continue to do, and being very proactive that way. How we can maybe stem that more towards the national level is continue to keep in touch with our own congressional delegation and ask them, implore them, if anything, to make those attempts on the national level as well. And again, of course, we can't address the executive branch of the national level, but we can certainly take that to our congressional delegation, and the people always have a say at the ballot box. So let's make sure that we, as not only South Dakotans but as Americans, make that point very clear at the ballot box.
All right. Well, I think that's all the questions we have for you today. So congratulations again on the award, and hope you have a good session.
Oh yeah, it's starting out good so far, and we really do appreciate you guys keeping track of us and reporting for us too, because it's a good way to get the public to know what's happening and keep them informed. So.